Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at.
President Joe Biden fights for the American people.
Political endorsements roll in for Vice President Kamala Harris after President Biden steps aside. Illinois members of Congress share their reactions.
Under our leadership, the United States will be respected again.
And Republicans who were in Milwaukee last week, they tell us their takeaways from the RNC. And now to some of today's top stories. Illinois' Democratic leaders are backing Kamala Harris for president. The state's entire Democratic congressional delegation, as well as Governor J.B. Pritzker, Mayor Brandon Johnson, and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, all have endorsed Harris's bid for the White House. It comes after President Joe Biden released a statement yesterday saying he's stepping aside and will not run for re-election. Pritzker is one of several politicians whose names had been floated to replace Biden. In a statement today, he says, quote, I am endorsing Kamala Harris for president and will work hard to get her elected because I believe that she is the most qualified and capable person to be president. I also think it's past time we shatter that highest and hardest of glass ceilings and finally elect a woman as president of the United States. And we'll hear from two Illinois Congress members coming up in the program. House lawmakers today grilled the director of the U.S. Secret Service over the assassination attempt against Donald Trump. Kimberly Cheadle acknowledged the agency failed, but says she is still the best person to lead the Secret Service.
On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency. We must learn what happened, and I will move heaven and earth to ensure that an incident like July 13th does not happen again.
Cheadle says no security resources were denied for Trump's rally, but that the agency is still figuring out why the threat of a shooter wasn't communicated sooner. Investigators have yet to identify the shooter's motive. Cheadle says she expects the agency's initial investigation to be completed in 60 days. And with Biden's announcement yesterday, Cheadle says adjustments have been made to Vice President Kamala Harris's security detail. The White House is also responding today to the release of video in which a Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed a black woman in her home earlier this month. Body-worn camera footage was released today of the shooting in which 36-year-old Sonia Massey allowed an officer into her home in Springfield after they arrived responding to her 911 call. She reported hearing a prowler outside her home. Officers responded just before 1 a.m., One of the deputies, 30-year-old Sean Grayson, yelled at Massey over moving a pot of water from the stove. He threatens to shoot her, and she apologizes, then ducks for cover. She rises briefly before Grayson fires three shots at her. Video released today shows the exchange between Grayson and another deputy in the moments right after the shooting. We should warn viewers that the following contains graphic language.
I'm going to go get my kid.
No, headshot, dude. She's done. You can go get it, but that's a headshot. Damn it.
God.
Dude, I'm not taking boiling water to the head. And look, it came right to our feet, too. Damn it.
Damn it.
You good?
I'm good. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Grayson was fired last week and has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder, among other charges. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump is representing Massey's family and calls the shooting as startling as the police murders of Laquan McDonald and George Floyd. Up next, two Illinois members of Congress give us their take on possibly naming Kamala Harris as the Democratic presidential nominee. That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Endorsements for Kamala Harris are rolling in from Democratic leaders across the country today. This as President Joe Biden ended his bid for re-election just yesterday. Biden went on to endorse his VP to become the Democratic nominee for president. But with 3 months until Election Day and 28 days until the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, there's still a lot of uncertainty. Joining us now with more are Congressman Jonathan Jackson, a Democrat from Illinois' 1st Congressional District, which includes parts of the city's south side and south suburbs, and Congressman Danny Davis, a Democrat from Illinois' 7th Congressional District, which includes parts of the city's south and west sides. We should mention we also invited Illinois' Republican members of Congress but have not heard back. Congressman Jackson and Davis, we thank the both of you for joining us. First, Congressman Jackson, I want to come to you because, of course, you were one of the Illinois delegates who still supported Biden's decision to stay in the election when other members were calling on him, other members of the Democratic Party were calling on him to step down. What was your reaction yesterday when you learned that he was bowing out?
Well, I would pray for the president's recovery from COVID, and as he recuperates during this period of isolation. I respect his decision. President Biden had tremendous momentum going forward. 14 million people had voted in the primary for the Biden-Harris ticket. So I was sticking with the current ticket. And we've always had a backup plan, naturally in succession. If the president seeks not to run, the vice president becomes the batter on deck. And that transition has taken place. And for that, I'm extremely grateful as well. So it was an orderly process. And for those persons that have not gotten on, as of yet, I respect their decision. I appreciate that we have another 3 to 4 weeks before we have the Democratic convention, but the crowd and the numbers are growing. The enthusiasm has caught on, and I'm very excited about it. And I also like to keep it in context. Remember 2.5 years ago, you had something called Never Trumpers. People have said some of those vile, vicious things about President Trump within his own party. We have not had that sort of fracture. But to have people that have different opinions, I appreciate it. I think they should air it out. And I think there's plenty of enough time for us to come together, have the momentum, and continue to achieve the victories that the Biden-Harris campaign has put in motion. What I'd like to see immediately happen is that President Harris puts her people in the campaign that would exude her spirit and that we keep this momentum going forward.
And, of course, I definitely want to come back to what the campaign might look like going forward for her. But, Congressman Davis, what do you think it was? What do you think it was that made President Biden sort of change his mind or fully change his mind and reach this decision? Because the last 3 weeks since the debate, he'd been pretty defiant and adamant that he would stay in the race. What do you think it was?
I agree with that. But I've also said continuously that President Biden had the kind of integrity that would determine his actions, and that once he reached a point where he felt something would be in the best interest of Democrats and in the best interest of the country, he would make the appropriate decision. And I think that's exactly what he did. So I commend him for his sense of integrity. And I also commend him for making the announcement that he was supporting Vice President Harris right off the bat, right from the cuff, so that there's no doubt in what he felt in terms of the person that he had chosen to be his vice president, knowing that she is fully prepared to take the baton and run with it, bring it to the finish line. So we're pretty ecstatic that Vice President Harris is a candidate, even though we're saddened by the passing of our dear friend Sheila Jackson Lee. And that kind of takes a little bit of, you know, you're down in one instance, but you're up in the other. So it's a great moment, I think, for America. And now we've just got to make sure that we unite and go out and defeat Donald Trump.
Of course, news broke late last week of the passing of Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas, a longtime congressman. Congressman Davis, sticking with you for just a second, you know, you mentioned commending President Biden for keeping or for immediately endorsing Vice President Harris. Are you concerned that there may be any challengers between now and the Democratic convention? Obviously, there have been a lot of endorsements for her, but could someone make a challenge?
Different opinions, different thoughts, and that's what make Democrats who Democrats are, is we believe that people have the right to their thinking and their opinions, and there may be some shadow thoughts going on, but they have not surfaced at this time, and I hope that we're going to be able to solidify this in the next day or two, get on with it. There's a groundswell. I mean, there's no way that it can be denied that there is a groundswell for Vice President Harris, and whoever is thinking of something else, that's fine. That's wonderful. But I think we'll see the validation in a minute or two and be on our way.
Congressman Jackson, we know that a lot of funds have been raised since the announcement yesterday. What do you think some of her challenges will be heading down the campaign trail, both the challenges towards receiving the official nomination from the Democratic Party, but also if and when the time comes for her to campaign against former President Trump?
I'm excited. I think it's off to the races. She's ready to go. I don't see the downside. Frankly, she's got 3 weeks to make a transition for putting some campaign staffers in that reflect her unique voice, and she should be given the best shot. I think we've got President Biden had announced his vice presidential pick almost the day of the convention that at Sunday, so she has 3 weeks. That's a bit of a challenge to go through all the potential persons that she would want to have, but she's been on the job and she's been active. She's not been a passive or an out of sight vice president. She's been close enough to support. She's been far enough to stay away so that the president can have all of his shine. And she was resting in the wing and moving. She took on the portfolio of things in South and Central America. She's filled in on executive decisions. She's been a part of 31 decisions to be a tie-breaking role, which is her job as the vice president that passed legislation that was historic. So she's never taken a day off. She's been fully capable, and now as she travels across the nation, she is in full gear and has energized the base.
Of course, she's going to have to pick a vice presidential candidate as well, a running mate, and all of the speculation is happening about that right now. Congressman Jackson, what do you think that looks like for her? What do you think of what have been speculated as her options so far?
I don't know if that's the full field. I would remind you that president and vice president is on the ticket, and those clearly the two most important in one way, but there are 470 federal races that are going on, 435 in the Congress, 33 in the Senate, and the vice president and president. So we're also have our hopes on regaining the House majority, where the dean of our delegation of Illinois, Congressman Davis, will go up in the Ways and Means Committee. Leader Hakeem Jeffries will be the Speaker of the House, so we can have sensible, meaningful legislation to be brought forward, and we can have the executive branch that we can execute and ultimately be able to appoint Supreme Court justices. These persons that are on the Supreme Court that have not been elected but have been selected and have come in there not trying to be partial. I mean, not trying to be impartial.
So it sounds like a lot of federal offices are very important to you and the Democratic Party. But Congressman Davis, just about 30 seconds left. The vice presidential pick, what kind of candidate, fellow running mate, do you think she needs to be looking for?
Traditionally, the president has always tried to select a vice presidential candidate who's going to help them get elected. So I think that Vice President Harris is going to be looking to do exactly that. I hope the person will come from the Midwestern part of the United States. I mean, I'm not a political analyst. I'm just an operative. But I think that might be helpful and I would hope that's where she would get a vice president from.
Midwestern part of the United States. We know a few people who have been on the list that we've heard of who are from the area. Obviously, all eyes are waiting to see what Vice President Kamala Harris will do in this race. Meanwhile, Congressman Jackson, Congressman Davis, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, reaction from Illinois Republicans who were in Milwaukee for the RNC. Stay with us. Presidential candidate Donald Trump and his newly minted running mate, J.D. Vance, are back on the campaign trail. It comes after last week's Republican National Convention, a week of rallying which included speeches from political leaders, celebrities, and so-called everyday Americans. This week, or that week, also saw messages about public safety, inflation, immigration, and more. Here to share their takeaways are former Illinois Republican Congressman Joe Walsh, and Pastor Corey Brooks, the CEO of Project Hood, who also delivered the closing prayer on the second night of the RNC. Gentlemen, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
So first, I want to start with both of you, getting your reaction to the news that we've all been talking about today from the Democratic Party, that President Joe Biden will not seek the nomination for re-election. He's suspended his campaign and thrown his endorsement behind Kamala Harris. Joe Walsh, starting with you first, please. What's your reaction?
I thought it was great. I think it was, look, Joe Biden did something yesterday that Donald Trump is incapable of doing. He put his country first. He believes Trump is an existential threat to our democracy. I do, too. I think Joe Biden finally realized that he can't beat Trump. Trump needs to be beaten. And I think his vice president, turning it over to his vice president, I think makes the chances of beating Donald Trump much, much greater. I think you'll see a lot of enthusiasm. I'm glad Biden did what he did.
Pastor Brooks, same question to you. What's your reaction to the change?
You know, it's a good thing for the Democratic Party. You know, it's obvious that President Biden was not going to be able to sustain for the duration of the election. So it was good for them to turn it over. And as far as the Republican Party is concerned, we're now ready to put up a good fight and have a good battle for the presidency of the United States. And so I think going forward, you're going to see our messaging on point, and you're going to see all the reasons why you should vote for the candidate of the Republican Party.
Pastor Brooks, to that point, you know, how will the GOP go after the Democrats and Vice President Harris if she becomes the nominee?
Well, it's obvious, first of all, on immigration, I think one of the hardest places that they're definitely going to be messaging and letting everyone know that we need to pay close attention to her record. She was the czar of immigration. And right now, on the way to America from the southern borders of Mexico, 3,000 people are on their way to enter into America. That's because of failed policies of immigration. That lies solely on the shoulders of Vice President Harris.
Joe Walsh, you've said that the former president has a, quote, a hard time with strong women. How does her potential, you know, seeking the nomination, how does that change the race?
And by the way, let me just give a shout out to my friend and brother, Pastor Corey Brooks. It's so good to be on with him. He does miraculous work on Chicago's South Side. Project Hood, everybody, get involved. Look, I think Donald Trump is going to have a really difficult time dealing with Kamala Harris. The Trump and the Trump campaign, they were all set, man, to go after, you know, 81-year-old Joe Biden. I think that Trump's cheerleaders in the media will get pretty ugly, and they'll engage in the sexist, racist kind of stuff that's already out there. But I think Trump himself is going to have a really tough time. She's a prosecutor. She's tough. I don't know that he's going to be able to figure out a way to deal with her.
Okay. So moving back to the RNC, looking at last week, the overall message was said to be unity, particularly in the wake of the assassination attempt last weekend or a week ago. And it seemed that the former president was embracing that message as well. But then he took the stage and went off script, as he is known to do. Here's a look.
I am running to be president for all of America, not half of America, because there is no victory in winning for half of America. In that spirit, the Democrat Party should immediately stop weaponizing the justice system and labeling their political opponent as an enemy of democracy. And we don't have fierce people. We have people that are a lot less than fierce, except when it comes to cheating on elections and a couple of other things. Then they're fierce.
Pastor Brooks, what message did you hear from him, and did you hear that message of unity that so many of the other speakers over the course of the week had been sharing?
Yes, one of the things I could really appreciate about the RNC and last week is that the messaging was on point from the beginning all the way to the end. We were very clear on our stance of wanting to bring back safety to America. I think that is on the forefront of everyone's mind who is an American citizen. The fact that we have a country that is so unsafe at the present time is an issue that needs to be addressed. And we did a very good job addressing that issue. I also think we talked a lot about the economy, which is so important. People are worried about how are they gonna pay for food. Groceries are at all the time high and bills are running rampant. And we spoke to those issues directly to the American issues that people are concerned about. And that's where we have to keep the messaging. We can't get off on race. We can't get off on gender. We have to keep the messaging very clear about American citizens.
Joe Walsh, you know, the convention appeared to be pretty well organized. As we've said, most of the speakers kept on message. A few powerful moments, in particular, that moment hearing from so many of the Gold Star families. What did you think of the convention overall?
Look, I agree with Pastor Corey. It's a very unified party. This is Trump's party. If you don't support Trump, there's no room for you in that party, which is why I'm no longer in the party. But it's Trump's party, and it's very unified. But let's be clear about something. Nobody has spread more hate and division in this country the past 8 years than Donald Trump has. And he's not going to change. He's incapable of change, so he'll continue to do that. And it's going to be up to Kamala Harris and the Democrats to make the case that we're better than what Donald Trump thinks we are. A lot of the convention last week was, you know, just again, presenting the dark side of America, and America's burning, and there's an immigrant and a criminal on every street corner. Trump appeals to the worst in us. And that works with some people, but I'm hoping that, and I believe that Kamala Harris will appeal to the best enough in us, and I think more Americans want that.
Can I say something that relates to what he just if you think that there's not criminals on every street corner because of immigration, I would invite you to come to Chicago and see for yourself that there are individuals who have been released into our country, as you were able to see last week with those individuals who talked about how their families were devastated because of immigrants coming into the country. Now, listen, we want immigrants. We believe that we should have immigration, but open borders is something that we can just not allow, because when we do that, crime is going to continue to go up. And that's exactly what we're experiencing in the city of Chicago, where you've seen immigrants who have committed these hideous crimes, and that's going on all across the country, and we should not turn a blind eye to it.
Running out of time, gentlemen, we've got just under a minute left, and the other big piece of news last week, obviously immigration was a big theme, but so was the selection of Senator J.D. Vance as Donald Trump's running mate. Couple of words on your reaction to that. First, Pastor Brooks, to you.
You know, I was pulling for Tim Scott. I'm a Tim Scott fan, but I like J.D. Vance. I think he'll be a good compliment to the president. And so I'm looking forward to hearing his debate when it happens, when the Democratic Party picks their vice president. He'll do very well.
Joe Walsh?
I think it was an arrogant pick. It was a cocky pick. It's a pick that says Trump thinks he's got this thing in the bag. J. J.D. Vance doesn't broaden Trump's reach. He doesn't appeal to moderate centrist voters. He's a MAGA guy. I think if Donald Trump understood or realized that Kamala Harris was going to be the Democratic nominee, I think he would have picked somebody different. I think this pick of J.D. Vance is going to come back and bite him in the rear end.
The campaign keeps getting more interesting. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Pastor Corey Brooks and Joe Walsh, good to see you.
Thank you.
Love you, Corey.
Good to see you.
Back to wrap things up right after this. And that's our show for this Monday night. Join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. The latest on the quickly approaching Democratic National Convention amid Biden's decision to step aside. And one-on-one with the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal, ahead of his one night only event. Now for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.